Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
USA. The Tian Guo Marching Band participated in the Italian Heritage Parade in San Francisco, California, on October 12. Many spectators praised the band's performance. As it passed by the parade podium, the band was introduced, and it was announced that the members uphold the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. The MC added, "They are always a highlight of the San Francisco Italian Heritage Parade. They have participated for over 15 years.
Japan. Falun Dafa practitioners took part in the 41st Peace Love Exchange Festival in the city of Hiroshima on October 4th. Locals and visitors learned the benefits of practicing Falun Dafa and how the CCP persecutes the spiritual discipline. Over 8,000 people attended the event. Stage performances and 22 booths with culture and food products from different countries were featured. Practitioners demonstrated the Falun Dafa exercises and gave a waist drum performance. Some spectators made videos and others followed along with the movements. Elsewhere, a large group Falun Dafa exercise session was held in Tokyo's Yoyoji Park on October 12th. Local residents and tourists stopped to watch. Many spectators condemned the CCP's persecution of Falun Dafa and expressed their support for practitioners' efforts to end the persecution. The next day, the Japanese Falun Dafa Experience Sharing Conference was held in Tokyo. 21 practitioners talked about their cultivation journeys. They reported the progress of looking within while adhering to Falun Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. The conference provided simultaneous translations in the languages of Japanese, Chinese, and Vietnamese.
Germany. Falun Dafa practitioners held rallies at two locations in the city of Erfurt in eastern Germany on October 4th. They introduced Falun Dafa and told people about the CCP's ongoing persecution of practitioners in China. The event gained the attention of the local residents, and many people signed the petition against the persecution. Erfurt is the capital of the German state of Thuringen. Falun Dafa practitioners set up one booth at the Fish Mart and another at Anger Platz, where they demonstrated the exercises, played the waist drums, and gave speeches.
France. The public condemned the persecution of Falun Dafa in the Parisian districts of Châtelet and Belleville on October 7th and 11th. Practitioners held an information event in Belleville on October 7th. Many Chinese people were there for a market day. They learned about Falun Dafa, and some asked where they could learn the exercises. A Falun Dafa exercise demonstration took place in Châtelet on October 11th. Many passers-by wanted to learn how to practice and took note of the Paris group practice site. The practitioners' eye-catching banners and display boards drew the public's attention. After learning about Falun Dafa and the CCP's state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience, people expressed their indignation and signed a petition calling for an end to the persecution.
Sweden. The 2025 Nobel Prize was announced during the week of October 6th to October 13th in the city of Stockholm. Falun Dafa practitioners demonstrated the exercises and displayed informative posters in front of the Nobel Museum to clarify the truth to the throngs of tourists and local residents visiting the museum. Practitioners exposed the mistreatment of Falun Dafa practitioners in China and explained that the CCP has now extended the persecution overseas through other countries' media and even their courts. People have taken aback to hear the extent of the persecution. Many signed petitions calling for its end, and some expressed interest in learning the exercises.
Romania. Falun Dafa practitioners held information events in the cities of Brasov, Târgu Mureș, and Bucharest from September 20th to October 4th. They introduced the practice to the public and raised awareness of the CCP's ongoing 26-year persecution. Practitioners collected signatures on a petition going to the G7 plus 7 countries to support the end of forced organ harvesting, which murders Falun Dafa practitioners and other prisoners of conscience in China. Many people said they were happy to see positive values like those of Falun Dafa promoted in society, and that governments should not remain silent about such atrocities taking place in China. The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. A man in his 80s passed away on June 4, 2025, a little over 1 month following his latest arrest for practicing Falun Gong. Mr. Liu Shangzhou of Liaoning Province was arrested at a farmer's market in April while distributing informational materials about Falun Gong. At the police station, he was made to sit on the cold cement ground for extended periods of time, making him shiver violently. The police forced him to take some unlabeled medicine and then released him. This wasn't the first time that Mr. Liu had been targeted for his faith. He was arrested in 1999 for going to Beijing to appeal for the right to practice Falun Gong. He was given 2.5 years at the Ma Sinja forced labor camp. Officers from the Tu Chengzi police station kept harassing him after he was released. He was later arrested a few more times over the years for distributing Falun Gong pamphlets.
A woman in Hebei province has stood trial for leaking state secrets because the case concerned classified information. The trial was closed to the public. Ms. Wang Xixin, 43, was arrested in July. After 13 years on the run, the state secrets she was accused of leaking to the Mingwei website referred to two documents issued by the 610 office prior to the World Expo held in Shanghai in 2010. Upon learning of the exposure of their secret plan to exploit the World Expo to intensify the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners, the 610 office launched an investigation to find out who leaked the so-called state secrets. Many practitioners across China were arrested, including Ms. Wang. After constant harassment from the police, Ms. Wang had no option but to go into hiding and was subsequently put on a wanted list. Unable to catch her, the police sentenced her husband, Mr. Zhao, to a year in prison. They also arrested many other family members.
Ms. Song Reishang, 73, from Daqing City, was arrested at a market in September after she was reported for talking to shoppers about the persecution of Falun Gong. She was soon taken to a detention center. When Ms. Song's lawyer visited her, she was in very low spirits. Her blood pressure was extremely high. She also struggled with breathing and walking. Despite Ms. Song's condition, authorities still approved her arrest. The prosecutor has now returned the case to the police department for additional evidence. Ms. Song took up Falun Gong in 1998. Her many ailments soon disappeared. After the Chinese Communist Party ordered the persecution in 1999, she was arrested at least 5 other times and tortured while in custody. Her husband and younger brother, who also practice Falun Gong, have both passed away as a result of the persecution.
A court in Jilin province sentenced 4 residents of Yushu City to prison for raising awareness of the Chinese Communist Party's ongoing persecution of their faith, Falun Gong. Mr. Du Xiangjian, Mr. Liu Xianfeng, and Mr. Fan Yunpeng were each given 5.5 years. Mr. Yang Fujun received 4.5 years. The police targeted 3 of them for helping people install satellite dishes to receive uncensored overseas news, which exposed the persecution of Falun Gong. The fourth was arrested while purchasing the satellite dishes. All four practitioners have been repeatedly targeted for their faith since the persecution of Falun Gong began in July 1999. Mr. Liu spent 4 years in prison where he was brutally tortured for refusing to renounce his faith. Mr. Fan was sentenced to 2.5 years for distributing Falun Gong informational materials. Mr. Yang was given 3 one-year terms of forced labor. Mr. Du was arrested in 2016 and in 2023.
CCP's persecution stuns attendees of Human Rights Convention. The International Commission for Human Rights and Religious Freedom held its annual convention in Lorton, Virginia on October 10th and 11th to discuss global atrocities targeting women. The nonprofit organization is based in the United States. It is dedicated to upholding human rights and religious freedom through ongoing monitoring, policy intervention, and collaboration. Participants at this year's meeting came from all across the United States. Dr. Sen Ni, a researcher at the Human Rights Center and professor emeritus of engineering at the Catholic University of America, presented a talk which exposed in shocking detail the ongoing persecution of female Falun Gong practitioners in China by the Chinese Communist Party. The depravity of the perpetrators was deeply disturbing. Dr. Ni introduced Falun Gong and described the CCP's state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting from practitioners. He also referenced the communist transnational repression of the practice that includes the use of lawfare and disinformation campaigns in the U.S. Conference attendee Dr. Adita Yanji is a physician and psychiatrist in the United States and the founder of the International Commission for Human Rights and Religious Freedom. He said, "This organ harvesting is organ theft, and innocent people, the majority of them are Falun Gong practitioners, are the victims of state-sanctioned organ theft by an immoral and inhumane regime." He proposed that the solution was to put sanctions on the CCP. He also called on the U.S. government to protect its citizens and legal residents and counteract the CCP's transnational repression. He said, "That is not acceptable, and we would demand that not just the U.S. government, but also the media organizations and international organizations take note of this and denounce this practice."
Transnational repression against Falun Gong spotlighted at International Religious Freedom Roundtable. An International Religious Freedom Roundtable took place at the U.S. Hart Senate Office Building in Washington, D.C., on September 29th, individuals and non-governmental organizations representing various religions and beliefs, as well as some U.S. government officials, participated and shared stories on religious persecution around the world. They also discussed the progress of potential interventions, support, and resistance. The officials that attended came from the State Department, as well as the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. Staffers from lawmakers' offices were also in attendance and listened to the experiences of those who were persecuted. Mark Yang from the Falun Dafa Information Center was one of the speakers at the event. He briefed the roundtable on the Chinese Communist Party's escalated transnational repression targeting Falun Gong and Shenyun. Yang reported, since March 2024, there have been over 184 death threats targeting Falun Gong practitioners, their children, affiliated institutions, and supporters. Many of these threats were delivered through emails or through the contact pages on Falun Gong websites. The messages included bomb threats, threat of mass shootings, and graphic depictions of sexual violence against women and children. Shenyun Performing Arts has been a major target of this campaign. The company has received threats targeting its New York headquarters and the theaters where the performances are held. Yang detailed an incident at the Kennedy Center in February, in which a bomb threat targeting Shenyang caused an evacuation and the deployment of the K-9 police dogs. Some audience members canceled their tickets. While all the threats have been hoaxes, the CCP's fear tactics have already disrupted performances and incurred additional security costs to Shenyang. According to a March 2025 Liberty Times report, Taiwanese authorities were able to trace some of the threats targeting Shenyang in Taiwan to a Huawei facility in Xi'an, China. Besides threats, Yang also provided an example of the CCP's impersonation tactics. In late August, a message was sent to the Catholic University of America during its fall orientation. The person claimed he was a Falun Gong practitioner and sent a bomb threat targeting the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, which is right next to the campus. Yang said this was proven to be a hoax, just like the other cases, but that it reflected the ongoing pattern of impersonation attacks aimed to discredit the community and create disruption. Speaking of the origin of the current escalation, Yang cited a diplomat article which stated that Xi Jinping held an internal meeting in 2022 and ordered his top security advisors to ramp up the transnational repression of Falun Gong worldwide, especially through disinformation and lawfare. He continued, "Unfortunately, we are seeing these tactics being played out in real time as this community faces disinformation, frivolous lawsuits, and violent threats on U.S. soil." Mr. Yang thanked law enforcement agencies for their support. He highlighted the concerning ramifications of the CCP's actions beyond Falun Gong. He explained that these demonstrate the CCP's elevating capabilities that target faith groups and institutions in the U.S. and can also be deployed against other groups.
3 days of Falun Dafa events held in Australia. Hundreds of Falun Dafa practitioners from across Australia held a large group practice of the Falun Dafa exercises at Martin Place in Sydney's Central Business District on Friday morning, October 10th. The gathering marked the beginning of a 3-day series of events leading up to the 2025 Australian Falun Dafa Cultivation Experience Sharing Conference on Sunday. Practitioners then held a march in the center of Sydney's financial district. Onlookers praised the parade for its bright colors, good organization, rich content, inspiring messages, and calling on people's conscience. Many people said it conveyed messages that are vital in today's world. After the parade, practitioners shared some of the amazing experiences that occurred as a result of their personal cultivation with Falun Dafa. Michael Molnar drove a whole day from Melbourne to Sydney to participate in the morning exercises and parade and said it was worth the trip. He has a background in IT, business consulting, and engineering technology. Michael began practicing Falun Dafa in 1999 and reported that it completely changed his mind and body. He explained, "It's like the compass of life," and emphasized that a big part of the practice is about its three principles: truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. Michael shared, "I was talking to my uncle and aunt the other day, and they kept referring to me as the Michael before and the Michael after. The change is huge. My childhood was very difficult. I was angry and harbored a lot of hatred in my heart. So definitely, after practicing Falun Dafa, everything just became still. It's difficult to explain, but definitely a massive change from before and after." Young practitioner Harrison Hutchinson is working in his father's timber flooring business in West Australia. He said, "I learned Falun Dafa from my father. I've been practicing Falun Dafa for a year and a half now. I started after I watched Shenyun in 2004. Prior to practicing Falun Dafa, I was easily distracted and constantly sought external things and my mind was overactive. After I started practicing, the principles of Falun Dafa taught me how to become still and calm." Harrison added, "I also have a lot more energy. When I do the Fallen Dafa exercises in the morning before I go to work, I have far more energy throughout the day than before. As I used to sleep 8 or 10 hours a day, now I sleep less and I practice the Fallen Dafa exercises, which energizes me. On October 11th, Fallen Dafa practitioners took part in truth clarification activities at the plaza next to the Customs House building in downtown Sydney. The Customs House is a main transport hub and public space. There was a constant stream of tourists from all over the world. People signed the petition to call for an end to the persecution atrocities. They expressed support for practitioners' efforts as they peacefully protested the unjust treatment. Practitioners also assembled at the Jubilee Park in Sydney that same day to exercise together and form an image of a huge golden Falun to draw attention to the magnificence of the practice. The 2025 Australian Falun Dafa Experience Sharing Conference took place in Sydney at the Hertzville Entertainment Center Auditorium on October 12th. The event was attended by more than 1,000 practitioners from across Australia. 20 practitioners spoke during the conference about how they align themselves with truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, eliminated attachments, and improve their moral nature.
Thank you for listening to the Mingwe Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.